Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I always feel like I need a nap after the children's sermons. We begin our Lenten journey today. We've changed the colors to purple, and we're reminded again that we are rededicating ourselves to God in a new way in our Lenten journey, which is marked by the disciplines of Lent, prayer and fasting, and the giving of alms. It is an early way that Christians began to return to the Lord their God. In the earliest of times, this was the period during which those who were coming in new to the faith received instruction. They learned from God's word, and they shared time with a person who was their mentor. And over the 40 days of Lent, they found themselves in this discipline to prepare for their baptism. And then on Easter Vigil, those who were ready to join into this particular Ohana of faith would then be received in baptism in darkness and in light. In the midst of all of this beginning of Lent, we hear of water. The water that came and covered the earth and destroyed all things because, as it says in Genesis, because of human sin. Because God looked around and said, you know, I created everything good and it didn't go that well. And so God created anew. It's kind of the Genesis mythos in Noah's story is this sort of recreation of everything that God has made. And everything is destroyed except for Noah and his family and those who were on the ark. But the story doesn't stop there. This isn't a story just of destruction. It is a story about redemption. So that when the flood recedes and the ark settles into the earth, God places the rainbow, as I told the kids, in the sky with the colors in the right order. By the way, anyone who wants to remake that banner someday, I'd appreciate it because every year I get the same thing. Did you know that those colors are in the wrong order? Yes, I know. But God places that bow in the sky in this mythos as a sign of God's love. As you read a little further in Genesis, what you find, though, is something hasn't changed because of the flood. One thing remains the same. In a dialogue, God says, but I know that the heart of the human ones remains unclean. The one thing that God doesn't wash away is our own proclivity for disobedience. That's a powerful moment in this story. Because you see, even though, because as you know, immediately after Noah hits the dirt, what happens? Everything starts going to hell again. It's so funny. You'd think, we just had a big flood. We don't want that to happen again. But immediately, the family starts fighting and everybody starts having troubles immediately because the one thing not washed clean was the heart of the people of God. And yet, and this is the beautiful part of the story, and yet God chooses to make a covenant with the human ones. Even though we continued to be creatures of disobedience, even though God was fully aware that we would return to war and treating each other poorly, even though God knew all of that, God made God's promise and sticks with it. that bow in the sky is not only a sign of promises to Noah and his descendants, but also to all of us. In 1 Peter, the author draws a parallel between what God did with Noah and the promise made in that water and in that rainbow and in that moment. He draws a parallel with the promise that God made with each of you in your baptism. That second use of water, which in Genesis was used, remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and there was darkness upon the face of the deep, the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And then God said, "With water, I will destroy all things." And then in Jesus, God uses water for redemption. The author of 2 Peter says that God, Christ, suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, and I love this, 8 persons, were saved through water, and in baptism now saves you. So the waters which once destroyed now redeem. In characteristic fashion, Mark, in a kind of breathless narrative, shares the baptism of Jesus, where the other gospel writers take all kinds of time to talk about that baptism of Jesus and the wandering in the wilderness and the temptations of Jesus. In a breathless kind of way, Mark just lays it out for us. He says, "In those days, Jesus, Nazareth of Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water," and you heard this last week, "he heard a voice from heaven who spoke, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased.'" The waters of Jordan, which gave life there in the desert, now prefigure the life that we will have in the baptism of Jesus. And coming out of that water, streaming off of his head, God speaks to Jesus. Water, water everywhere. So what is it for us? In our baptism, we too have been called back to that redemptive life. Not only for you personally, because so often, you know, at the end of this text, remember, John is announcing the kingdom of God is at hand. It's all in the perfect. It's finished. Right? The perfect tense. It's already been done, and now it is continuing to unfold. The kingdom of God is here, and it begins with this Jesus who gives each of us the gift of God's promise, this Emmanuel. And in the waters that Jesus was baptized, so we too baptize. We too have been washed clean. And yet in our hearts remain our disobedience. And once again, even in the midst of our baptism, God says, "You are my child." There's no magic in your baptism. It's not the ecclesiastical equivalent of a 4-leaf clover. That once you are baptized, nothing bad will ever happen to you, nor will you ever do anything bad to anyone else. We are broken and hurt. And we are human. And yet, by the grace of God, God calls us my child. That's at the essence of what we live in this Lenten season. That through flood and baptism through joy and sorrow, through pain and suffering and laughter and joy, through anxiety and fear, through all of that stuff, God still chooses to call each of you my beloved. And sets in the sky God's promise. These stories for today are more about how God is faithful for us and to us than anything else. You see, the season of Lent is not about becoming perfect and straightening up your act. That's what my dad used to say. You'd better straighten up your act, boy. But about being received in water and word, and then being sent out to share that love and that forgiveness with the world. Long ago, God destroyed everything with water and then gave a promise. And then in Christ, the water came again and was poured out in grace on Jesus and on us. And a new community began. And you are the ones who are the kingdom near at hand. You washed and loved people. When we go out from this place and we receive rain on our heads and see the sign of God's bow in the sky, we are reminded again and again that we belong to God. And so again, I invite you, I'm just to ask a quick question. How many of you wake up every morning and think to yourself, I am so glad to be a baptized child of God? How many of you wake up and say, as I do, how far away is the coffee? So at least make the second thing you think in the morning. I belong to God. And I am a person of God's promise. Amen.